So as we march our way through the cycle of readings in the year A of readings, and we're working our way through the Gospel of Matthew on the Sundays, we come to this reading of Matthew 16, 21 through 27. If you recall, last week was also Matthew 16. It was the verses immediately preceding today. As again, we kind of are marching through the Gospel of Matthew. But last week, we talked about St. Peter as well. It was, who do people say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus is a confirmation of that and affirming Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. And I say you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church and the keys of the kingdom. And good job. And then almost the next breath from your lungs is, get behind me, Satan. Goes from hero to zero within the same chapter, right? And I don't think that it's a coincidence that this happens for Peter, that he goes from, like, the rock, he gets it right, he has the right answer, he stepped forward, but then, again, immediately face plants and gets it wrong. And I think there's so much for us to learn from that, but I think just understanding, I think, if I was to extract one thing here, it's the nature of Jesus himself and Peter's development and his growth in that understanding. Because last week, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, that's right. I am the Son of God. You got it right. And so much so that that could only have come from my Father. That was a divinely inspired inspiration that you had, Peter. Good job. But even there, even with Peter, with that strong of an affirmation, he didn't understand who Jesus was. The Son of God, Jesus, God in the flesh, but he wants Jesus to be a God, to be Jesus without the cross, without suffering, without inconveniences. And Jesus very firmly, very clearly says, you got it wrong this time. And I think that goes for all of us as well. To have a Christianity without the cross is actually paganism. And we can see this, and not to pick on anyone in particular, but you know, the Joel Osteen movement of the prosperity gospel, if you pray hard enough and you believe hard enough, your body will be sound and healthy and you'll have riches and wealth and everything will be peachy. And if you're not, if that isn't the case, then there's just something wrong. You're not praying hard enough. You're not trusting hard enough. You're not faithing hard enough. We should all be millionaires. That is foreign to what Jesus is saying here. That is not authentic Christianity. And after Jesus, Peter pulls Jesus aside to tell him what's up. Jesus, let me tell you how to be God. And then afterwards, when they come back to the group, then Jesus said to his disciples, so now we've gone back to the group. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So not only do I have to be crucified, I have to go through Calvary, but you do too. That's the immediate response, the immediate lesson that Jesus imposes on his disciples coming back to them. Now, here's the thing. Here's where, that's probably not news to all of us, even though we forget it. But here's what I find really, really impactful for this weekend, for our readings from Romans. And you probably went in one ear and out the other. It's easy to kind of skip that second reading. But man, this is a powerful one. And my homework assignment for you this weekend, if you go back home, I would love you to reread the second reading from the Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So good. Here's what he says. I urge you, brothers and sisters. I'm urging you. I am begging you. By the mercy of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. What is he saying? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Our bodies themselves, our physical flesh, the carbon and oxygen and all the things that make up the human body, our bodies are the living sacrifice. Now, what's the difference between why a living sacrifice? Well, what's the opposite of a living sacrifice? A dead one. Okay? Now, in Israel, they're used to dead sacrifices. That was the law. That's why they had the temple. You bring in your turtle dove, and you cut its throat, and you put it on the altar, and you throw it in a fire. Okay, I've redeemed my son. You bring in your goat and your sheep. You slit its throat. You collect the blood. You put it on your doorpost. Then you burn up what's left on the altar. Those are dead sacrifices that, like, yep, I checked the box. I dropped off my sheep, my bull, and it's dead, and it's burned up, and I've done my sacrifice. That's not what St. Paul is talking about here. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, meaning this is an ongoing thing. This is not a one and done. I turn my life over to Jesus, and now my sacrifice is over, and now I get to live la-di-da from here. Living sacrifice. Being alive, and our bodies are being mortified. That's what he's talking about. Which is what Jesus said. If you wish to come after me, you must deny yourself. And this aspect of denying ourselves, to be honest, is kind of been stripped from the Christian life and the Christian mindset. Even with us Catholics, you take Lent away, and we don't talk about denying ourselves very much. We don't talk about sacrifice. We don't talk about mortifications and all that kind of stuff. But that is still, to this day, it's still what the church asks of us. So deny yourself in your body, in your flesh. Let me give you one. The church offers a whole smorgasbord of ways for us to be able to do that. But let me give you one very, very practical, tangible way that the church has entrusted to us. Did you know, and I know I've said this before, but did you know that every Friday throughout the entire year, year round, every Friday is a day of fasting and penance. Not just in Lent, but year round, Catholics are supposed to abstain from meat on Friday. Year round. That is in canon law. It's a spiritual practice of self-denial. We mortify our flesh. We deny ourselves something. Every Friday throughout the year is a day of penance and sacrifice. Now, what happened after the Second Vatican Council in the late 1960s, they said, all right, we will make a concession. Catholics can eat meat on Friday outside of Lent. This is outside of Lent. You can eat meat on Fridays if you substitute some other sort of sacrifice, some other penance. So what did we hear? Catholics can eat meat on Friday. Woohoo! And then, there's more? What? I heard the first, it's like mom and dad, you tell your kids something and they hear the first half of the sentence that they want to hear and they forget that you said, yes, you can watch TV if you do your chore. They forget that the chore is like, we can watch TV. That's all they heard. The church has said, yes, we can eat meat on Fridays outside of Lent if you do some other penance. We've forgotten that. And I think it's high time we reclaim it. That, yes, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's just one very, very small way. Now, we can, like I said, we can still eat meat on Fridays if there's some other sort of penance. But it's supposed to be Friday is a day that we remind ourselves by mortifying our flesh, our bodies, our physical self, that this is the day the Lord died, and this is a way that we deny ourselves something. But that's not even, in my mind, that's not even the best part of this reading. The second reading is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Here's what he goes on to say. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So here's the thing. Let's reverse engineer that order. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be able to discern God's will? Would you like to know what God is asking for you in your life? What is his will in your life? Would you like to be able to discern that, to have knowledge of where the Lord is leading you? If you want to discern God's will, to know what he's asking of you, St. Paul says, if you want to discern his will, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You have to change your mindset. Discerning God's will and figuring what God is asking demands and presupposes that our mind is transformed. Which is exactly what happened to Peter in our gospel today, isn't it? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God in the flesh. Yes, you got that part. But I don't want you to be a God who suffers. Let me tell you how to be the God that I want. No, Peter, you got that part wrong. Get behind me, Satan. Peter had to transform his mind. You see this? He wanted the God that the Jews were expecting, a God, a Messiah that's going to come in and kick the Romans out of Israel once and for all. We have a sovereign nation, go back to the glory days of King David, and we have a king on a throne, and he rules us, and we have prosperity and peace, and everybody's rich, and we have plenty to eat, and we rule ourselves, and it's gonna be awesome. No, Peter, you need to transform your mind. Do not be conformed to this age. Is that not exactly what Jesus told Peter? You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Your mind is thinking according to the age. So, here's the logical, if you follow the logic of St. Paul, here's what it is. Do you want to discern God's will? Yes. We want to know what God is telling us? Yes. Then you need to transform your mind. Do you want to transform your mind? Yes. Then you cannot be thinking as according to this age. As Jesus said, you can't think, not as you're thinking as man does, not as God does. So here's what I would say, brothers and sisters. If you want to transform your mind, you have to reform your mind. And thanks be to God, we live in 2026. We have more resources at our disposal than anybody in the history of the entire world. You can literally learn anything, like anything you want to do. It's available out there. You can learn it. There's no reason, there is no excuse why there are questions that you have unanswered. And yet, the average Catholic has what, a fifth grade understanding of the faith? And I know what you're going to say, because I've heard it, I'm not even exaggerating, 1,000 times plus. Why don't we spend time transforming our mind and learning, spending some time learning, reading, spending time with the Lord? You could all say it with me together. You all know the excuse. I'm busy. We're all busy. I'm too busy. I've got little kids. I've got college tests. I've got, you know, doctors, whatever it is. I'm too busy to transform my mind. It's like an oven saying, I'm too busy to bake anything. That's what we were made for, brothers and sisters. We are put here for the transform and renewal of our mind so that we can come to know the Lord. And if we're not doing that, we're not fulfilling our purpose at all. If you're too busy, you're wrong. I'm sorry. You are not too busy. I am flat out telling you, you are not too busy. Go look at your screen time on your phone and then come tell me you're too busy. Unplug that black box in your living room and then tell me you're too busy. Stop the flow of raw sewage coming in from CNN and Fox News. That is thinking according to this age. Brothers and sisters, we can't live that way as Christians. It doesn't work. It is incompatible with our faith. Do not be conformed to this age. Peter, don't think according to human terms. But the only way to do that is to have your mind transformed. And so here, again, here's my challenge. Here's my homework assignment. Read this second reading. It is so good. Read the second reading. It's two verses, literally two verses. Read the second reading and ask the Lord, come Holy Spirit, show me one way that I can implement this in my life. Give me one practical tool that I can start using this. And if that means just shut off the radio in your car and listen to a podcast, get a book on tape, listen to the scriptures on tape, whatever it is, like there are so many opportunities. And I would even say this, Sunday is supposed to be a day of rest. You are supposed to, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Christians are supposed to have a 24-hour period of time set aside for God, okay? That's supposed to be a thing. And if that's not the case, if you are not living Sabbath, if you are not making a 24-hour period of time set for growing your relationship with the Lord, then you're not following the commandments and there's something off somewhere. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're not too busy. We're just, our priorities have been skewed and we're thinking according to this age. I guess the last thing I would say is just, I don't believe as we move forward that we are living in an age where lukewarm Christianity is going to be successful at all. It's, Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or be cold. If you're lukewarm and in the middle, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's what he said. The lukewarm will be spit out like vomit. And I'm not necessarily saying a bunch of zealots that shove a Bible down everybody's throat at all times, but we cannot be satisfied with staying stuck in the same spot where we are indefinitely. That is what I'm saying. And if you think, if your game plan is to show up at the pearly gates and God says, hey, I gave you a lifetime, and your game plan is to say, but God, I was pretty busy, I would suggest maybe thinking of another excuse. This transforming and renewing of our mind, it transforms and renews the way we live our lives. And I will even give one last nugget is this. It turns out when you start doing that, you actually have so much more time for everything else as well. That's the irony of it all. Is it living that life well, reclaiming Sunday, denying ourselves, making Friday a day of penance, like intentionally forming our minds. All of a sudden, when we start doing those things that we know we're supposed to be doing, we just don't do it. When we start doing it, we have our lives back. That, brothers and sisters, is living and walking in freedom. And even embracing our own crosses. Let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. With confidence, let us offer our prayers and petitions to our Heavenly Father.
For our Pope and bishops who carry the cross of pastoral care and responsibility, We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For leaders in government and industry who use greed and power to dominate, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For dry souls thirsting for God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a share of the courageous faith of Mary, our mother and example, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the dead who desired to save their souls, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For these and all the petitions in our parish prayer box, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we bring all these prayers and petitions before you. We ask you to hear and answer them as they're in accord with your will. For we ask them through Christ our Lord. Amen.
For the preparation of the gifts, please sing hymn number 498, Only This I Want, number 498.
Only this I want, but to know the Lord and to bear his cross, so to wear the crown he wore. Oh, but this is loss, worthless refuse to me. For to gain the Lord is to gain all I need. Only this I want, but to know the Lord and to bear his cross, so to wear the crown he wore. I will run the race, I will fight the good fight, so to win the prize of the kingdom of my Lord. Only this I want, but to know the Lord and to bear his cross, so to wear the crown he wore. Let your heart be glad, always glad in the Lord, so to shine like stars in the darkness of the night. Only this I want, but to know the Lord and to bear his cross, so to wear the crown he wore.